Well, it's Memorial Weekend, and Memorial Weekend, we do a lot of activities to remember those that have served, those that have given up their life to fight for our country and our freedom, and the different things we do. And a lot of people, a lot of young people sometimes don't know Memorial Weekend is, hey, it's just another holiday. I know mom or dad may be off work. We're doing some cookouts. We're going to the lake. We're going on a trip. We're doing things. But we want to honor and recognize those that served our country, both men and women, and those that have fallen, and those that are just long gone from years and years ago, hundreds of years ago, that have given up their life for our freedom. And how great that is. So today we're talking about just remembering. If you would turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes, where in the world is that, Adam? Well, there's Psalm, Proverbs, and then right after that, you'll find it. A year ago, also, we were preparing to go to Falls Creek, just as we are this year again. What a fascinating time that was. Young people that went to Falls Creek, leaders that went to Falls Creek a year later. Do you remember anything from Falls Creek other than possibly good times? Do you remember any messages you heard? You remember God speaking to you about those things? That's why we're going to talk about remembering today, recognizing different things. We had a memorial service here in the church yesterday. Helen spoke briefly last week about a young lady that lost a battle against cancer, and we had their memorial service here. And it was truly a fascinating day. It's a young lady that didn't go to our church. Pastor Helen had talked to her before she had died, and she knew that she had given her life to Christ. And as we brought in some extra chairs for the service yesterday and filled this place, and they honored and remembered that young lady that had died. And they had a video. Now let me get out of that for just a minute. Guys, if we say we need something the night before at a certain time, this is why we need it. Because that video showed up an hour before service, and guess what? Didn't work in our system. That's why when we say we need this a day before, 48 hours before, that's why. We want to make sure these things work and they don't upset the balance of that. So they brought it up and it didn't work. Spencer worked hard on it. The people that brought it worked hard on it. They even brought their own computer that we tried to plug in and do different things. They said, this guy may not look it, but he's an IT guy, so he looked at it. He was gone real quick, so I don't know what he knew. But he was gone real quick out of that. Finally, we postponed the funeral by about 15 minutes. He said, would you please just wait? I really want that video to be shown. It's important to me. Absolutely. We asked them to be patient while we postponed a few minutes. Finally got it running. And as they showed the video, it became very evident why that video was important. Because it remembered her life. From baby pictures to early age, teenage years, to her wedding just a few months back. And it was important to the husband that he remembered her, and that all those in attendance, family and friends, remembered her and saw her. Remembering is very important to us. It's very important that we remember people. We want people, I hope, I assume, maybe I'm selfish, I don't know, and self-centered, let's not get an amen on that, but just maybe I am, and maybe I just want people to remember me for a life that I led. It's important to be remembered and to remember. We want to remember the previous generation, those of us that may have had parents go on before us. We want to remember them. Maybe it's the current generation. Maybe our brothers and sisters, our spouses, our generation that we're in. Maybe some of them have gone on before us. And then the future generation, what we consider kids and grandkids. Maybe some of them have gone on before us. And we want to remember them. We want to make sure that we honor them and remember them and do the things that are important to keep their name alive. When you drive down the road, you see the crosses or the wreaths in the ditches. going down South Douglas by Tinker, there's a big area that people constantly weed eat themselves in the ditch. They have little lights, solar-powered lights that come on at night, battery-powered lights. Well, those people are remembering the life of their son that died in a car accident there. The young man actually was burned in a fire a couple years before that. And a guy that I used to work with, my old boss, as a matter of fact, was his football coach. He said, "We need some help." The building burned down in his yard that he accidentally caught on fire. And when he gets out of the hospital, we don't want him to see that. We need help tearing it down and hauling it off. So I went out and helped. A couple of years later, the young man got his license and was able to drive. And he worked for the same guy down in Norman. And he got up early one morning, was on his way to work, and whatever happened, he crashed his car there in the ditch on Douglas and died. But his family is sure to make sure that the memory of their son is not lost to them. And it's big. It's not a wreath and a cross. It's big on the fence line and everything. They don't want to forget, and they don't want anybody else to forget. As you know, my sister lost her son almost 2 years ago in August. She doesn't want people to forget. Where he lost his life, she puts flowers and ribbons. At the club there where he was on Northeast 23rd Street, that was open for the first night that night and now closed, we drove past the other day and she has signs taped on her window. "My son lost his life here." Please help. See, she's lost. She's got the memory of her son, but she said, "Please help find his killer." She's got to know. Remembering is so important. And she does not want people to forget her son. She does not want people to forget her husband that died 4 years ago. They just put his headstone in this past week, this past Friday. Side by side, her husband and son. And she has a picture on each one of their headstones, their markers. She doesn't want people to forget. But at the same time, she waited quite a while to order that last one. Because she said, "When I order that, I know it's final. It's done. But until I do that, I have a little bit of hope that it's not real." And we all go through that, remembering things. Things we remember, we say, "Oh, get that out of my head. I don't want to remember that." In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, they talk about remembrance. And we want to remember on Memorial Day, again, the soldiers, those men and women, those military personnel that fought for our freedom. And we don't want to forget them. If you've served in the military in any capacity, would you just stand up so that we can honor you and remember you? You just stand up. Any service of the military? I'll say, I know there's some of you out there. All right. Thank you, guys. And I know in our congregation we have many men and women that have served, some that aren't here today. And there's some that don't want to remember some of the things that they've seen in the military. And in verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rose. The wind goes towards the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. And it goes on to say all these things that seem to be repetitive. And in verse 9 it says, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before, but there is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. And it says, because of our short memory, you say, hey, look, this is new. But they say, no, that's already been done. You just forgot. And by the way, I encourage you to come on Wednesday night Bible studies. It's interactive, and we talked a couple weeks about attentiveness and being attentive to people. And then we were reminded we need to be attentive to the Holy Spirit. We listen to people and take their input all the time, but have we slowed down in all that input from the flesh and the world to say, what does the Holy Spirit have for me? What would the Holy Spirit have me do in this situation? There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. It just says our minds are focused on other things, our memory is short, and we forget. What is done has been done. We just don't remember that because our focus leaves us. Let's turn over to chapter 4. A couple pages away. Chapter 4, verse 9. And it talks about the value of a friend. Verse 9 through 12 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. As we remember things, yesterday this church was filled with many friends. And immediately, when I read, how can one be warm alone? I was taken away to a venture in Guatemala when Eric and I were in the back of a freezing cold pickup as Pastor Jack, Eric's daughter Haley, and Megan Bean sat in the warm cab of the truck. There was no more room for Eric and I. The value of a good friend. Eric, scoot over, I'm coming in. And I grabbed a blanket and we cuddled and kept each other warm in the back of that thing. It was a horrible memory, but but I'm telling you, the value of a good friend, the blanket was about this wide and we were about this wide. There was not much room to tuck it in around us, but we did that. And I say that in jest, but it is so true to have the value of a good friend. Because they're there to pick you up. Mercy. Can't get that out of my head. They're there to pick you up when you're down. Maybe when your spirits are down, they lift you up. When your perspective is saying this, their perspective is, oh no, you see, you're just missing it. It looks like that, but from here I can see you've got it. You ever watch, I'm going to be careful how I say this, Bad Drivers. Did we find one? When you watch them and they're trying to pull in a spot and they're thinking, oh, I got to back out, pulling back out. And you're thinking, no, from my perspective, you got it. Just keep going. A lot of times friends are like that. We don't think we've got it. But from their perspective, they say, you're clear. You've got it. I know it. In remembering things and remembering people, the value of a good friend is so important. It's important that you are a good friend and lift them up, but it's important that they're a good friend to you as well. When they're taking you down the dark path, that's not a good friend. Young people today, young people that are here within the sound of my voice, when those friends say, well, come on, it's not going to kill you, watch out for those friends. This talks about the value of a good friend, a true friend. Okay, one that will pick you up when you're down. One that will fight for you and protect you. Be aware of that, young people. Now let's flip over to chapter 11. You know, and this book is an interesting book. They say it was written by the son of David the king, Solomon. And a lot of people said it's a very negative book in the Bible. Why is it there? Well, all books in the Bible have edification in one way or another to the church and to the church body. And this is. He's just giving a true, honest look at, hey, when it comes down to life, what is life really all about? What is life without God? And he's going through these questions, but he comes back around to answer those questions. And so if you've ever heard this is a bad book to have in the Bible, or it's negative, ignore that. We're going to talk about that in just 2 seconds here. Chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. And again, young people, I encourage you to listen up, but the rest of us, this applies to just as well. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Okay, let me go back there for just a minute. It says, walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But it's saying, if you do this, know that God will bring you into judgment. Verse 10, therefore remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. When we do these things and we just see with our eyes and we walk in the flesh, yeah, we're going to get satisfaction possibly, no matter how temporary that is. But God has judgment for us. And He's got it waiting for us. God's a good God, but He desires for us to do good, not evil. And they're telling us, young people, again, as you get in school, boys and girls, girls and boys, follow the ways of God. Get to know God. When you go down to Falls Creek, when you're at Ground Zero, get to know God. And you can't get to know Him 1 week a year at Falls Creek in a little hour-long or less session at Ground Zero 1 day a week. You've got to spend time during the rest of the week, whether your parents tell you to or not. You've got to take it upon yourself to get in His Word and learn it and study it. And where you have questions, ask questions of valid leaders. And by that, I mean, you've got to be careful if you ask your friends, well, we just have God in our home, and you know, when we want, God's just there for us. That's great, sounds great, and God is always there for you, but man, that's not church, and that's not God's desire for the believer to be in a church of one. Well, it's not one. We're there with God the Father. So, yeah, I understand that. God desires for us to be in fellowship with one another, be in the assembly with one another, break bread together, and study together. Now in chapter 12, it goes on to say, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. Us older folks, we're in the difficult days. Younger people, if you think it's difficult now, difficult days are coming. They are coming. I'm going to read that again, just in case. Remember now, that means right now, your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. And he goes on to say, do it now before all these other things come to pass. This young lady that had the memorial service yesterday had cancer. And it was kind of masked by some other medical things, so they didn't really know it was there. And it came rapidly. And it took her quickly, very quickly. I mean, we're talking a matter of a handful of days. Young people, don't think to yourselves, I've got all kinds of time. God will show me this stuff, and I'll be able to make changes. Don't think that for a second. Yeah, we can play the thief on the cross and at the last minute say, okay, Jesus, tired of messing around, it's time. Yeah, you know it's time because you're going to meet Him. And it talks about getting to know Him now and remembering Him now. And in chapter 12, verse 9, it says, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright. Words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. As we close today, I want to read three things, and you don't have to turn there. But as we remember on Memorial Day those that fought for our freedom and those that gave up their life for our freedom, and we talk about remembering. In John 10:15, Jesus says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. And then in John chapter 13, verse 38, we read about this a few weeks ago. In verse 37, actually, Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? For I will lay down my life for your sake. In verse 38, Jesus answered and said, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Jesus is asking us the same question. Are we willing to lay down our life for Him? But I would caution you on your quick response to say absolutely. And then in John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. As we talk about remembrance and the ultimate sacrifice of laying down your life for freedom, Jesus asks us the same thing. Will you lay down your life for me? He says, I lay down my life for my sheep. And now he says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Let us pray. Father, today as we celebrate this Memorial Weekend, may we also remember those that made it possible for us. Those that have fought and battled and served for our freedom. God, as we remember them. Let us also reflect just on remembrance. The past generation, the current generation, and the future. God, that our memories of those that have gone on before us can be filled with good. If nothing else, God, that they be filled with good, knowing where we stand and where we see them. God, as we desire to be remembered by others, let us be remembered for our good works, our kind words, our strong faith. Yet as Solomon sought out the answers to what is life about, help us to understand that your words made it very clear. And the Bible makes it clear to be Christ-like, to be ambassadors of Christ. God, help us help direct our paths, our actions, and our words towards one another, those we know, those we don't know. For Father, that's so important for us to set our minds right each day and throughout the day to keep us focused on you. Let us be attentive to the Spirit. Let us be attentive to your word. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.